This is New England Public Radio News. We recently told you about a program soon to launch at the MGM Casino in Springfield meant to prevent compulsive gambling. But where can people go when that program doesn't work? New England Public Radio's Karen Brown looks at the current treatment options in the Springfield area for problem gamblers.
Even before the Springfield Casino opens, about 2% of Massachusetts residents have an addiction to gambling. That's according to UMass researcher Rachel Volberg, who studies gambling trends for the state. She says when she polled the problem gamblers, a quarter of them said they'd like to get help, but few had actually sought it out.
Internationally, we know that problem gambling is associated with a great deal of stigma and shame, and people much prefer to try and manage it by themselves.
And that creates some dilemmas in the treatment world, starting with how to recognize who needs help.
We consider it the hidden or invisible addiction. You don't come home with track marks in your arms.
Marlene Warner runs the Massachusetts Council on Compulsive Gambling.
You might come home a little bloodshot because you've been at the casino several days, but it's just not revealing itself in the same way that another addiction would.
Visible or not, gambling addiction is expected to spike after MGM opens, based on past research. With that in mind, the Gandara Center in Springfield is one mental health clinic preparing to do more screenings among its patients. Spokesperson Lisa Brecker says their mostly low-income population is high risk for gambling addiction, since many are unemployed and coping with poverty and violence.
So they turn to a way to, you know, alleviate that. So the same way that some folks use substances, we're afraid that the same population will start to, you know, misuse this recreational activity.
Brecker says the center expects more people to develop gambling addiction, but not necessarily to tell their providers about it, which is partly why the clinic has trained many of its existing counselors in gambling treatment, but not hired anyone new.
Based on supply and demand, we're pretty confident that we have enough people in place right now. What we are talking about and preparing for is that we do start to see a lot of these things identified during the intake process, you know, will we have to increase capacity?
The tricky part, health leaders say, is making sure supply keeps up with the demand. Marlene Warner says the Massachusetts Council on Compulsive Gambling, under contract with the state, has ramped up its trainings, mostly among clinicians who already treat substance abuse and mental illness.
We also get a lot of requests from community-based organizations, certainly from senior centers.
According to the council, about 150 practitioners across the state are certified to treat gambling addiction, including private practice and employees of larger health organizations.
I'd say that there's a lot more groups that still need to be trained and a lot more groups that need some information.
The Massachusetts Department of Public Health is charged with making sure there are enough gambling addiction services and that every licensed outpatient clinic has at least one trained counselor. But the department would not provide an interview to explain how they are enforcing the requirements or assessing what's available. Jessica Collins directs the Public Health Institute of Western Massachusetts.
I think people in the public health community are concerned.
Her group released a casino impact report in 2013. It recommended more community resources to address gambling addiction.
You need more funding to fund staff who can then intervene with individuals. This is like a one-on-one basis, which is very expensive.
One future pot of money, an estimated $15 to $20 million a year, is the Public Health Trust Fund, which comes from a percentage of casino revenue. Collins wants the money to help more than just the gamblers, also families and neighborhoods affected by gambling. She says she believes the state will eventually invest in community-based treatment.
But you've got a casino opening August 24th, and no resources have been rolled out to local communities at this point to help agencies potentially set up and then deal with an increase of addictive gambling.
The Springfield Health Department has not yet built up much infrastructure for problem gambling. But Commissioner Helen Calton Harris says she is concerned for the city.
We have heard the stories about the casinos in Detroit and other places that really have sucked the life out of communities and then sort of moved on and left a trail of poverty.
She says her office has recently secured funding for a position that will oversee gambling addiction services. That coordinator will not be on the job when the casino opens. And Colton Harris says it will take about a year to gauge the extent of problem gambling in Springfield. For now, she says they plan to refer people to their primary care doctors.
I don't believe everything is in place that needs to be in place in terms of the casino and its impact on the city. This is new for us.
Her office has been talking to Mark Vanderlinden, who runs the Responsible Gambling Division for the Massachusetts Gaming Commission. He says he doesn't know much about the treatment options in the community. He's been mostly focused on the prevention program called GameSense, which operates inside the casino. And while Springfield is certainly not the first city to host a new casino, Vanderlinden says policymakers have not learned much about best practices.
The research on what is the impact when you open up a casino in a specific area is weak at best.
That's where UMass researcher Rachel Volberg says Massachusetts is likely to be a leader. Part of her job is to track problem gambling over time after the casino opens, along with how the state is handling it. For New England Public Radio, I'm Karen Brown.